This is the second lecture of a four-part series titled Jeremiah and Prophecy. In the first lecture, we learn that the Bible shows Jeremiah being selected even before his birth as a prophet from God Almighty. He was commissioned not only to prophesy to Judah and to the remnants of the nation of Israel, but to every nation on earth. Daniel was an axial prophet. He lived at about the period of time of halfway through human history, as defined in the Bible, a 7,000-year plan of God, which we find shown in outline form in the first chapter of Genesis, where the 6 days and the seventh day, the Sabbath, there represented 1,000 years in human history for each day, or a 7,000-year period of time. We find this delineated in 2 Peter chapter 3. We mentioned that last time. This 7,000-year plan, however, was to be divided into periods in that in which God would be doing specific things which he prophesied to be able to show mankind that he was in charge of all things, not only on earth, but in the entirety of the universe. Jeremiah was called about midway through this period of time. That's why he is known as an axial prophet. He was called to destroy, to throw down, to turn over all of the kingdoms of the past, the civilization of the past. He was also commissioned to plant and to build a new type of civilization. And in fact, Jeremiah was to introduce two new civilizations. One almost immediately at the end of his 40 years of ministry back there, some 600 years before the birth of Christ. And then at the end of the Babylonian phase of world events, when the kingdom of God would be introduced on earth. I mentioned last time how Daniel was able to see a vision that King Nebuchadnezzar had witnessed. And he interpreted that vision as being the future for the world, with Babylon being the head. And then another phase of silver, another phase of brass. And then going on down in an inferior sense to iron, but iron being very strong, and then finally at the very end, iron mixed with miry clay in the feet portion of the image with the 10 toes. Daniel saw that, and Jeremiah was the one who adds flesh, shall we say, to the overall prophecy of Daniel. We find Ezekiel doing the same thing. We find here in the Bible, then, that Jeremiah was one of these axial prophets. In fact, he was the prime prophet around which world history would centralize. He was raised up to destroy the former civilizations on earth that many of us have read about somewhat in history, but know very little about because they've been destroyed. But he was also to plant brand new types of political, social, and religious societies that would be fundamentally different from the previous ones, and those societies you and I are familiar with. The society of Babylon, the society of Persia, the society of Greece, of Alexander the Great, the society of Rome, the society of later times, even of Islam, and then coming down into Protestantism and Catholicism, and then even into our modern day. We are still in that Babylonian phase. The prophecies of Daniel are still very much in effect. Daniel, as an axial prophet, is still very much on the scene, and we need to realize that. Daniel had two other prophets with him, as I've been mentioning, Ezekiel and Daniel. They were contemporary to him, with Jeremiah taking the precedence, as far as years were concerned. Remember that Jeremiah was a priest. Ezekiel was a priest. Daniel, however, was of the house of Judah and a descendant of King David. All three of them had active ministries, and they were separate from one another, but yet at the same time, they bridged over and supported each other in the prophecies that were being uttered in this axial period. Jeremiah was the one who introduced on earth this new type of civilization that would become Babylon. Babylon at its head. All faces of the future existence of this new society was to show its Babylonian origin, because Babylon was to be the head. Daniel interpreted that this Babylonian civilization that was to emerge at that time, which we call the Neo-Babylonian Empire, headed by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, was to be found in the form of an image that was seen in vision by Nebuchadnezzar and interpreted by Daniel on the plains of Shinar, which was the area of Babylon itself. This Babylonian image was to last through its various phases on earth until a stone would be cut out of the top of a mountain without hands. That means that it would be God who would do it. And that stone would roll down the slope of the mountain to hit the Babylonian image on the 2 feet, on its 10 toes. And the image would topple over. And after the image toppled over, this stone would then get larger and it would pummel the image into dust. And as a result of that, the winds would begin to blow, and they would blow the dust into all 4 areas of the world so that the image would no longer be found anywhere on the earth. What would happen to that stone, however, that came down the mountain slope and destroyed the Babylonian image on its toes? That image was to grow, and it was to become a great power on earth. And this destroying stone, so as Daniel said and saw and he witnessed, would engulf within its sphere of governance the entirety of the earth. It would become the kingdom of God on earth. Jeremiah, along with Ezekiel and Daniel, all of the prophets who lived at the time, they were to plant not only the Babylonian image of its head back there some 600 years before the birth of Christ, but they were also to witness and they were also to speak about that kingdom of God which would emerge on earth once the Babylonian phase would be over. We are waiting in the wings for that particular segment of the Babylonian kingdom or empire, world empire, to be fulfilled. It has not yet been fulfilled. The stone has not yet been cut out of the top of the mountain. It has not yet rolled down the side of the mountain. It has not hit the 2 feet or the 10 toes. Those 10 toes, representing 10 kings, iron mixed with clay, are to exist on earth in a worldwide empire in the antichristian or antichrist time just before the second advent of Christ to this earth. But we find that this stone will destroy that Babylonian image, and then Daniel says, along with Jeremiah and Ezekiel, that a new planting is going to take place, a new beginning, a new building. And that will be the wonderful kingdom of God that the Bible shows will last for 1,000 years on this earth. It is called the millennium. And who will be ruling at that time? It will be Jesus Christ. So you see, we are at this very moment here, at the end of the 20th century, just on the verge of going into the 21st and into a new millennium, a new world millennium I'm talking about. We're just on the verge of seeing these things accomplished, which Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel talked about some 600 to 500 years before the birth of Christ. That's why these prophecies are very important for us today. They are very pertinent. They are right up to date. And we're going to be able to witness many of us, some of these things, all of these things that we find here in these prophecies given by Jeremiah. That's why he is very up to date, and why you and I need to take into consideration these prophecies, which were uttered some 500 to 600 years before the birth of Christ, but they have a relevance for us who live at this end of the age. Now, to start off this prophecy, Jeremiah was called in the period of Josiah, king of Judah, who was one of the last of the kings of David who ruled in Jerusalem in Palestine. The temple was still in existence at the time. Jerusalem was still there. And if you'll read the prophecies very carefully, you will find that Jeremiah had a 40-year ministry of prophesying. That is, prophesying before the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple. We find him, even after that period of time, still having influence. But his period of prophecy to Judah was over after a 40-year period. He continued to live, though, after that time for a number of years, and we have that recorded in the last chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Now, we find in Jeremiah a minor apocalypse, if we can call it that, something like the book of Revelation, which gives an overview of the whole prophetic mission of Jeremiah. You'll find that in Jeremiah 25, right in the midst of his prophecy, beginning in verse 15 to 33. I referred to this last time, but I want to rehearse it just very, very briefly at this moment to be able to give you a theme that I'm going to develop today. This minor apocalypse starts out with the commission that Jeremiah had to go to the nations. The first nation that he was prophesied to go to was God's own people, Judah. And then the next nation were those people next to Judah, geographically speaking. And then the next nations were a little farther away, geographically speaking. And then farther and farther away. And then finally to all nations of the earth, scattered around the earth, to the extremities of the earth. You will find this minor apocalypse here, beginning in verse 15 of Jeremiah 25. It says in 15, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, Take the wine cup of the fury of the hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it." Now, they won't want to drink it, but they're going to drink it. Now, this was back there some 600 years before the birth of Christ. Once they drink, something's going to happen to each one of them. "They shall drink and be moved." That means be shaken. "They will be mad." That is like a drunken man. "Because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup of the Lord's hand, and I made all the nations," just not one, just not Judah, but all of them. And you're going to find the number that he gives right here. That number is significant, and I want to refer to it as we go along, because you'll see in this lecture I'm giving today the significance of numbers and letters, the significance of what we might call figures of speech, that Jeremiah was using, and others have used too, to be able to emphasize and to reinforce their prophecies that they were given. "Then he took the cup," or Jeremiah said, "I took the cup, and I made all the nations to drink." And he starts with, first of all, verse 18, "Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, the kings thereof, the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, and a hissing, and a curse." And then he adds a little phrase that he wrote after the prophecy was completed some 30 years later, "as it is unto this day." That's what he said. He finally put that in there. It actually came to pass even in his day. That was for Jerusalem and for Judah. That's the first nation. The second is Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The third is the mingled people, which means part of the area around Egypt, where mingled people were living, Arabians and people of that nature. The next was Uz, as it says here, number four. The next were the Philistines and their peoples around their cities, very near to Judah and also to Egypt. That's number four. We find that Edom is mentioned in verse 21. That's number five, and then Moab, and then Ammon, and then Tyre and Sidon. And the kingdoms then that are going to drink of this cup are progressively getting further away from Palestine. You see the point? Then he goes on down, and he finally gets to the kings of the Medes. And that's number 21, I should say. And then finally, verse 26, "all the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the earth." Now, there you go. You see, he went out as far as he could go within the Middle East. And then he jumped out and embraced the entirety of this world. His prophecy then, his commission that he was given. And remember that he was given this commission even before he was born. But he wasn't told it until he was about his 17th year of age. But God gave him the power and the authority to take this message to the people of the world, not just to Judah. Progressively, though, from Judah and Jerusalem out until it embraces the entirety of this world. And you know, the entirety of the world is number 22. I want you to keep that in mind, number 22. Why 22? Because 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. The book of Jeremiah was written in Hebrew. There are one or two verses in Aramaic, which is a cognate language of Hebrew. And Daniel, part of it is written in Aramaic as well, which is a cognate language of Hebrew, and they all have 22 letters. The 22nd nation, or geographical area, that's mentioned here are all the nations of the earth. And then another one is mentioned, but it's outside the 22. The last one that's mentioned, well, in fact, he says, "Drink you and be drunken," well, to all the nations. But the one that's outside is this latter one here in verse 26. "And the king of Shishak shall drink after them." After all the others drink, Shishak is going to drink. You remember last time I mentioned that this Shishak is a cipher for Babylon. And that's exactly it. Whereas the 22 nations that went before, the 22 geographical areas mentioned before, 22 is significant because Daniel, not only Daniel, I should say Jeremiah, is using and going to use letters of the alphabet to be able to signalize the emphasis to his prophecies. Shishak here is what is called a cipher. It's a kind of a secret code. There is a name for it. It's called Atbash, A-T-B-A-S-H. You can find it in the Encyclopedia Britannica. What it means is if you line up the letters of any particular language, and in Hebrew there are 22 of them, starting with Aleph and Bet and Gimel and Dalet, you know, right on down like our ABCs, and all the way down to Sheen and then Tau, which is the last one like our letter Z. If you put them all in an order, now in Hebrew you start from the right and you go to the left. Remember, it's different. They read Hebrew from right to left. You and I are influenced by Greek influence and also by Roman, and we read from left to right. When you read your Bible, you read from left to right. Now, in the Hebrew, if you put it down from right to left, you take the second letter, and it'll be a bet, it'll be a B. And Babel is BB, and then actually it's near the middle, near the 10th letter, well, you got 22. In fact, it's the 12th letter is L, Lamed. Lamed is the 12th letter. If you take that and you get BBL, the 12th letter Lamed, you get Babel. But if you start from the other end, and from the back of the Hebrew alphabet, and you start forward, the second letter is not Bet, but Sheen. And you get two Sheens, and then you come to the 12th letter. Going backwards, you get a Kaf. And you put Sheen, Sheen, Kaf together, and you know what you find? You get Shishak. And this is indicated here in chapter 51 of Jeremiah, where he shows in clear language that his Shishak is Babylon, but it's a cipher. It's rather interesting that all of these nations here, it says that Shishak will suffer and drink the cup after them. Those nations, the first 22, met their destruction in the time of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Shishak, however, did not meet its destruction in that time. In fact, Daniel said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. Gold would continue to exist until a silver phase would come up. That was Persia, as we finally find in history. And then a brass portion would come up of this Babylonian image. And then an iron portion would come up. And then of the legs, and then of the 2 feet, we find iron mixed with miry clay of the toes. And this image, standing in the plain of Shinar, of a man with a head of gold and feet at the bottom, standing there, would finally be destroyed by this stone, remember, that would come down the mountain slope and hit it at its, not in the middle part, not in the knees, but in the feet. So that it would topple over, and then this stone would become the kingdom of God, and a new kingdom would come on earth, which is God's kingdom. Now, Daniel mentioned that, and also Jeremiah here, because it says, Shishak shall drink the cup of destruction last. And in fact, you know how long it would continue to exist? 2,520 years. About that time. In other words, a long time in the future would be the Babylonian kingdom. It's going to continue through these various phases. And indeed, when you go to the book of Revelation, as I pointed out last time, chapter 17 and 18, it talks about Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon the Great, still in existence, still there, waiting for Jesus Christ to come with his angels and to destroy the Babylonian kingdom. And what would happen after the Babylonian kingdom is destroyed by Christ coming, the second advent? The kingdom of God would then emerge on earth, just like we find here in the book of Jeremiah and Daniel. It would take almost a little over 2.5 millennia for Shishak to drink his cup of destruction. That's what it means. You have to put the whole of the prophecies of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, along with those of the book of Revelation together, and you get a panoramic view of what is going to happen in world history from the middle part of world history, from the time of Adam to the end of the millennium, all the way through to the commencement of the millennium and the end of the millennium. All 7,000 years of it is found here within Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the book of Revelation. And so putting it together, you find that Jeremiah is a prophet for us today, because he was a prophet not only to plant and build the Babylonian Empire that was to last for over 2.5 millenniums, and finally see its demise with the second advent of Christ and the kingdom of God on earth, but he was also responsible for introducing the kingdom of God on earth, which would last for 1,000 years. So he is very pertinent to us today. That's why we need to take him into consideration. Now, in doing this, we find that this Shishak, you see, this word Shishak actually means Babylon, but it means it as a cipher, as a secret, as a mysterious way of looking at things. Isn't it interesting that after the Persian Empire, we find the Greek Empire, and then finally the Roman and so forth, and down to today, the powers that really govern have a language that does not read, I should say, from right to left, but from the Greek times on anyway, from left to right, like we do it today. In other words, you see, the Shishak, he is saying something here. He is saying that by the time Babylon is destroyed, the world is not using the Hebrew language any longer. It's using a language from left to right, not from right to left. He is trying to make a point here. The destruction will be of 22 nations. The last, however, the 23rd, is Shishak. But the 22 will be destroyed back there. 22 means that there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And to be able to show what the Shishak means, he's blending together, Jeremiah, a clue so that anybody reading the prophecy would begin to understand what he means by these things. Now, if you want to know about the prophecies of Jeremiah and how he uses this 22 numbering time and again, I'm going to give you a prophecy now that comes directly from Jeremiah, but is not even in his book at all. And yet he is the one that wrote it. When you look at the book of Psalms, you find that those Psalms are called prophecies time and again. Many of them are prophecies of the future. And if you look at the longest chapter in the Bible, and the longest of the Psalms, you'll come to Psalm 119. Do you know who wrote Psalm 119? All you have to do is to look at all of the 176 verses of it. 176. It's rather interesting. This psalm here is broken up into 22 divisions. 22 divisions. That ought to give you a clue right there to Jeremiah, because he is very keen on using the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet to emphasize his prophetical teaching. If you look in the King James Bible here, the one I have, you will find that the first 8 verses of Psalm 119, every single verse in Hebrew begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. The next 8 verses all begin, every single one of them, with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That's Bet. The third division, beginning in verse 17 here, begins all those 8 verses, every single one of them, commence with the letter Gimel. And then the next begins 8 with the letter Dalet. And all the way through until you get to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, all of them used up completely in order and with a perfected harmony that is rather interesting. Secondarily here, you will find that the subject of each one of these verses, with the exception of the 122nd, and I'm going to mention that a little bit later on, every single one of them has a theme that deals in one way or another with God's law or God's teaching. 10 of them, 10 phases of it. And you can see it here at the very beginning. He says in verse 1 about the law, 1, testimonies 2, ways 3, precepts 4, statutes 5, commandments 6, judgments 7, statutes, another type here of, it goes to 8, it goes to word, it goes finally to works. You'll add them up and you'll get 10 different aspects or ramifications of God's law. God's teaching. Jeremiah was a priest. And when you get this 22 numbering here, called an acrostic, it's rather 176 verses, you get the feeling that someone by the name of Jeremiah is in charge of it. And indeed, there is hardly any question that that is the case. Because when you go on to look at this individual who wrote this psalm, he says in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Way, by taking heed thereto according to the word, with my whole heart, says the author of this psalm, have I sought you. He did it as a young man. And remember how old he was when he got his commission? He was before birth, But the point is, at 17 years of age is when God touched his mouth and said to him, you go forward and you teach the elders of Judah. And then he goes on to say here that in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies, God, are my mediation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. He goes on and speaks here about him being youthful and the people he's talking to as being ancient. He also shows that he has great persecution on him, and how the princes will sit and speak against me. He was of a high authority in the kingdom, and he was a priest, and he was able to go to Josiah, he was able to go to Jehoiakim, he was able to go to Zedekiah, the last kings of Judah, and to teach them. And in this Psalm 119 here, which was written by Jeremiah, he continually talks about weeping and how he was very sad at what was going on. And some of the very words that you use or see here in Psalm 119 are repeated in several sections of Jeremiah and his own prophecies. Psalm 119 then, and keep this in mind, is a psalm or a prophecy written by Jeremiah. And it's divided up, characteristically of Jeremiah, into 22 sections, each of it dealing with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That is important for us to realize, because when we get the whole story of Jeremiah, which I'll go to in the next section of this, you're going to see that that is a cardinal feature of his prophetic interpretation that will help you and me to understand even the periods of time we are living in now and coming into in the future. It's most important that we keep all of these nuances of prophetic interpretation in mind. When we do, we'll begin to understand these prophecies as never before, and we will see that they are very relevant, very pertinent to us today. Please turn over the cassette tape for the B-side of Jeremiah and Prophecy Part 2.